song by the Waitresses. It is the specific hand-picked song from our guest this hour. He has an exhibition up at the Herndon Gallery here on the Antioch College campus, and he has deep connections to this particular corner of the world. It's my pleasure to welcome from the Michael Hombu's Drank the Water. It is Michael Hombu's via the phone line. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Nikki.
Thank you
for
being
here.
Oh, you bet. Let's talk about, first of all, Michael Hombu's Drank the Water. Let's talk about why you named it that and how that can explain, after you were here in the mid to late 90s, find yourself back at Antioch College with this wonderful exhibition.
Well, the title is really funny to me because I remember specifically during my first visit to the Glen Helen Nature Preserve my first year while studying at Antioch, which would have been fall of 95, I remember hiking through the glen and then drinking the water from the Yellow Springs. And an older student that was maybe a year or two ahead of me that had been there for a while was like, oh, well, you know, if you just drink the water, you're destined to come back. And I was like, oh, no, what did I just get myself into? And so it felt like a great title for my homecoming of sorts to come back to Yellow Springs.
And explains it that you drank the water. Let's talk about, first of all, I really enjoyed looking at your sort of exhibition opening speech. There's a video of that on Vimeo. You can find it if you go to the Herndon Gallery's Facebook page. That's Herndon Gallery at Antioch College. If you search that on Facebook, you'll draw up, including pictures of this exhibit and the link to the opening speech. By the way, the exhibition closes at the end of the month. That's Friday, August 31st, and you'll be back in town for that. But so we opened with that Waitresses song. Music has been a big part, certainly, of your Ohio experience, but even far beyond that. It is worth noting that, like, a big chunk of the imagery is based upon sort of the art, the beauty that struck you looking at the spines of old LPs in storage.
That's correct. Yeah, you know, I grew up playing music, starting with piano lessons, probably age six, which didn't go so well because I was very adamant about learning the Ghostbusters theme and Van Halen and Axel F from Beverly Hills Cop.
Who's this Beethoven? I have other interests.
Yeah, and I was learning Bach and Beethoven instead, so there was a little headbutting with my 70-year-old piano. And then I went on to play in bands, and I played in symphony orchestra in high school, percussion, and it really wasn't until I landed at Antioch that I started meeting other musicians that had been in touring bands and had much more experience playing out and had a wealth of knowledge of music that I had never had a connection to. And also, I grew up in a small town in Michigan that didn't have music venues. And it wasn't until later in high school that I would take the train into Chicago to see bands. But once I was at Antioch, I would go to Cincinnati and Columbus and Cleveland and Dayton and constantly see bands, which was this access that I had been missing growing up. And just to jump ahead even further, by the time I left and moved to Brooklyn, which was in 2000, I've continued playing in bands, and most of the bands have all been fellow Antioch students that moved here at the same time that I did.
That's wonderful. We have an example of that we're going to get to a little further on. I want to comment on the sort of the diversity of this exhibition. Again, it's Michael Hombu's Drank the Water. The exhibition opened on July 12th and runs through September 1st with a closing reception that you'll be here for on Friday, August 31st. So I think that it's maybe fair to say that you use maybe those spines as a springboard, but also you include what I understand to be some of your earlier work when you did mostly portraits before these record spines spoke to your artistic soul. And it's sort of, so the exhibition is kind of twofold in a way.
Oh, it's true. And it actually would be great if anyone that has missed the show so far can make it for the closing on the 31st. I'll be there. And it's kind of, it's fun to walk through and kind of get a guided tour of how one series led to the next and so on and so forth, because there are, even if the aesthetic is seemingly different, there's a lot of really close binds. And in fact, the lenticular abstract line paintings that I started working on was actually a result of a long stretch of doing more figurative portraiture work and kind of hitting a wall in 2012 when my mother passed away, like right before I was having a big portrait show here in Brooklyn. And there was just so much to deal with paperwork-wise and emotion-wise, and I was traveling back and forth between New York and Michigan to handle things while still trying to complete work for the show, that when that was finished, I just was a little spent. And during the process of going through my mother's belongings, you know, I discovered a whole batch of records that she had left behind that I didn't even know that she had. And going through all of them, I really discovered so much about her that it was almost like looking at a more in-depth portrait of her.
Oh, what kind of portrait? You said what kind of portrait? A musical portrait?
Like a more in-depth portrait of her, because I was discovering all this information about things that she liked that I didn't even know about, or things that she liked that we both liked and had in common, or differences that we had, which I really felt resonated in a lot of ways with our overall personality differences and likenesses, and even organizational patterns. Like, I've always been very strict, alphabetical.
And hers were not?
Hers seemed to be organized color-wise. And I thought that was really fascinating. And I liked how just looking at this collection of someone's belongings from afar was just beautiful, seemingly arbitrary band colors. But then looking closer, it's really, no pun intended, but a very sharp painting of someone's personality. And a portrait, in essence. So I started drifting in this whole different direction and making work form-wise, color-wise, structure-wise, going from more realism to abstraction. But to me, they still felt real and almost like still lifes. Part of my process was photographing her collection and then moving on and photographing collections of other people that are close to me. And then while staring at the source reference photos of the lines and sometimes the interesting angles and shadows of the record falling and not being completely straight leaning or tightly packed on the shelf, I was focusing on the lines, but then listening to those specific records that were captured while I was painting them. And just really letting go and letting the music guide my color selection and my brushstroke work, which was wildly different way for me to work than how I had before. But it felt really freeing and exciting. And it really got me back into wanting to work at a time where I just like felt a little crippled to do much other than just get other work done and feeling inspired to create art.
Yeah.
Challenging. And this allowed me this fun way to sort of have like an inside connection that I use, whether it's my mother or close friend, but then also immerse myself in their personalities by listening to only what they listen to and letting that come out onto the palette. And then creating hyper kinetic, energetic pieces that in the end really felt like you could look at them as abstracted portraits of the individuals, or you could just look at them as a reaction experiencing music in general and the energy that you get from it and the excitement And the experiment was pretty fun because anytime I would get to fun, poppy, dancing music, super hyper bright colors would come out. I would just instinctually go for them, reach for them first. And then music that would play that I really did not enjoy listening to, but I had to because I made that be a part of the experience.
Huh. I wonder.
Nothing. It could be, I know when I hit a show tunes section of my mom's collection, which kind of drove
What happened there?
I could not paint a straight line. My hand was not steady, and I was picking darker, drabber colors. And this is all as an afterthought. Like, I was really so much in the zone that I wasn't even making the connection that I was doing that at the time. And it wasn't until I was finishing the pieces that I was just like, what went wrong here? Why is that line so wavy? And then I kind of had to
do some forensic
track my process and be like, oh.
Oh, I
my
get
fair
it.
Lady was playing.
Michael, are you by any chance pacing as you're speaking? Because we're getting a little bit of coming in and out on clarity. However, I'll remind our listeners, Michael Hambu's Drank the Water on display at the Herndon Gallery here on the campus of Antioch College. Find out more at antiochcollege.edu/Herndon, H-E-R-N-D-O-N, or check out some links to some images and also the Vimeo of the opening talk from our guest this hour, Michael Hambu's at Herndon Gallery at Antioch College. Search that on Facebook. Again, that's Herndon Gallery at Antioch College. But I love the sort of artistic snake eating its tail that you found visual inspiration from the record spines and then listened to said records as you created a version of those. It's like a wonderful self-perpetuating cycle there. Music's a big mm-hmm. part for you, isn't it? I mean, I guess it always has been. We got one queued up from, The Breeders. Tell us about, so you were here in the heyday of The Breeders, and they had a big influence on you, and then we'll listen to a tune.
Yeah, absolutely. The first internship I did while a student, actually second internship I did while a student in Antioch, I worked for the Dayton Visual Arts Center in Dayton, was living there, and also during the evenings, I worked at a club at the time called Sub Galley. In that specific moment, the Amps had sort of the Breeders had re-envisioned themselves as the Amps, which may be one of my favorite moments in definitely Southwestern Ohio history. But I saw so much that was incredible almost every single night of the week. And from seeing earlier Pixie shows when I was in high school to being there and being an 18-year-old that was playing in bands that would play in venues that some of my rock heroes were also at because it's such a small, tight scene. And they were also friendly and cool and nice and encouraging. It left a really big impression on me. And I've pretty much followed everything that band in particular has done since then. And they always deliver, and I can't say that about a lot of bands.
Yeah.
The song that I specifically passed on to you may be one of my favorite songs ever. So excited to hear it for the thousandth time.
Here it is. We'll be back with Michael Hambu's from the exhibition Drank the Water. Stay close. Something from The Breeders, a favorite of our guest today. It's my delight to welcome back after that musical interlude, Mr. Michael Hambu's. Michael Hambu's Drank the Water is the collection at the Herndon Gallery here on the Antioch College campus. The exhibition opened on July 12th and runs through September 1st with a closing reception on Friday, August 31st. Find out more by going to Facebook and searching Herndon Gallery at Antioch College, Herndon, H-E-R-N-D-O-N, or go to antiochcollege.edu/Herndon. We're going to eventually wrap here with a piece from your band that the four of the five members are former Antioch students. And talk about, though, the sort of community camaraderie and sort of professional tentacles that you made, established, and maintained to this day through your work with Antioch students. And I want specifically for you to tell me about how you got to do that Twin Peaks commercial.
Well, aside from playing music, yeah, when I was ready to finally leave my full-time job to go into the studio full-time, sort of gave myself a six-month to a year time period where I'd budgeted just to paint, do nothing else, bills will be paid. And I was really approaching the end of that time, and bills were getting very close to not being paid.
For an artist, and you, though, are very far thinking. You're very structured. I love that you're like, okay, 6 months.
For the 12 years leading up to that moment, I'd been working in nonprofit fundraising, so I was very well acquainted with Excel charting my way through.
Right on.
Maybe more so than a lot of artists. And I received a call from an old classmate out of the blue, right as I'm nearing the end of this little painting tenure, from a friend that was working at Showtime Networks, and they drastically needed a hand-painted ad campaign for an Oliver Stone series they were working on. And it was typography-based and graphic, and two things that I had no experience with. I had no graphic design background or any experience in typography.
So they called you. No.
Yeah. Well, they were in a crunch, and all their on-staff designers were graphic computer designers. And since I grew up right on that cusp of barely being able to learn how to do email by the time I went to college, I really had no experience except in the tactile handmade work realm.
Wow.
And I went for it because it was an amazing opportunity that fell from the sky, and I just went for it. And I spent 3 solid weeks creating a hand-painted typeface specifically for the use for this ad campaign, along with abstracted backdrops to layer with the type. And they loved it, and it worked. And
it's beautiful.
Months later, it wound up getting a National Design Award. So to jump forward and forward, I did a few more ads with them for Dexter and the show episodes, all completely in different styles.
The Dexter with the blood. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
What fun.
I figured out how to paint with an eyedropper from above canvas by like 3 feet, trying to articulate a portrait in splatter. It was wild. It was such
it's like,
fun,
ew,
feeling.
Cool.
Well, and I talked about that in my talk too, but I hadn't seen the show yet. I didn't have cable. And when I was prepping to do this job, they sent me all 7 seasons prior to this last one to watch, and I got a very rabid crash course in that show, which is sort of unsettling.
I'll bet. I bet you needed to like go out in the woods for a week after to just purge, just cleanse. But it's a wonderful, wonderful image. Yeah,
yeah,
and drink some more water.
Right. And at some point, I had read online that Twin Peaks was going to reboot, and which is was my favorite show of all time, still is, and that Showtime was picking it up. So I went ahead and crafted a hand-cut paper ad campaign for it, completely unsolicited, and handed it to them.
That is so smart. Like, it's in its own. That's like genius. Yeah.
I was just like, I want this so badly. It makes sense. Like, I know this better than a lot of people do. I know what boundaries not to overstep in trying to out Lynch. And come up, you got to come up with something that's clever. And I felt like he would really appreciate handmade work. He's not one to really CGI anything or do a lot of digital animation. Mm. And it sat on the shelf for a year and a half because there were still a lot of kinks to be worked out and just the show production. And it just didn't look like it was going to be the direction they were going in. And I happened to be actually out in the woods visiting friends upstate New York, and found out that my friend Colin had just been working with Mark Frost, David Lynch's co-creator on Twin Peaks, for publishing his new book through Flatiron Press. And they were kind of stuck with an ad campaign for it. And I was like, well, I happen to have an entire completed ad campaign for Twin Peaks finished that isn't going to be used if you're interested.
Wow.
And it's the most bizarre karmic cosmic craziness that the one other person working on a project directly connected with a show with a completely different company needed an ad campaign, and I happened to have it, and I still had PDFs of it on my phone and just showed them.
Just whipped it, took your phone out of your pocket. Oh my goodness. It's wonderful. Weird and wonderful.
The office 2 days later and they accepted it. So I wound up getting to work on the project anyway.
We're talking with Michael Hombus. His presentation, his exhibition called Michael Hombus Drank the Water, which is a reference to the fact that if you drink the water from the Yellow Springs here in our beautiful village, that it means you will return. He has done just that. His exhibition runs through September 1st with a closing reception on Friday, August 31st. You can find out more information if you search on Facebook for Herndon Gallery at Antioch College. Again, that's Herndon Gallery at Antioch College, or go to the Antioch College site, antiochcollege.edu/Herndon. And there are so many beautiful examples of circles completing themselves in your life, and I love it. And it, to me, it's a testament to walking through life and being open, because, you know, certain things resonate towards you. Chance only comes to a prepared mind. Then you had certain circuits that were open. I highly recommend the talk that you gave at the opening reception. And again, there's a link to that if you search on Facebook at Herndon Gallery at Antioch College. If you search that on Facebook. And I think maybe we'll save it for the listeners to discover on that link to the Vimeo video. But even there was some paper that, like, what was it, French paper? What was it called?
French paper company.
Which is from your hometown. And then you encountered something about that here, and then you ended up going back and doing work, painting that fact. It's just, it's wonderful. Are you surprised at your life?
I am. There have been a lot of ups and downs, for sure, and I think it's just, I really like how you just stated having that openness to let things sort of enter into my reality and just accept them as beautiful gifts, whether it's otherworldly or karmic, or if it's just how things naturally should be when you allow yourself to be open to things happening. But in bad times, I tend to tune in on making work that's healing and helpful for me. And then I hope that when I share that with others, they can have the same feeling when they're experiencing it. And when I'm in great spaces, I do my best to share what I have with others. And I think having that experience working in nonprofit fundraising for so long, I've ingrained that into my work too. So with most work that I sell, I always donate a percentage back to nonprofit organizations or like Democracy Now, for instance, that I've interned with in the past.
You met Amy Goodman at the Herndon Gallery.
Oh, I did.
It's crazy.
She gave a talk either in my sophomore or junior year, and it was right at the very beginning of Democracy Now! And then years later, I've gone back as a signed-up volunteer, and anytime they need extra hands with pledge gift support and packaging premiums or working on their database, if I get a call, I'll go in and help out. And it's another beautiful full-circle thing that's I've encountered. And with the show at Antioch, I'm donating 30% of sales back to the art programming there, too.
Oh, well, you're a good man.
Good
person. Oh, well, no, we're not all perfect.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
I try to be. But the Herndon Gallery is such a beautiful space, and having work in there just feels magic. And I would love to have some role in helping to keep that going.
Another circle completed. We're going to go to the tune of your band. Is it Corbetti? Corbetti? Who? Yeah, how about that? but listen, no,
into thrash metal.
Thrash metal.
I think the song that I sent you would be one of two songs ever that I've actually gone for it with a full-on blazing solo.
Of a guitar solo. And it's not even 2 minutes long, this song, so we're gonna.
It is very, very different than the other songs.
This is a band called Cabretti, and this features our guest this hour. He's Michael Hombus, whose exhibition "Drank the Water." It really is a sentence. Michael Hombus drank the water. Is on display now through the end of the month. In fact, September 1st, the final day, but a closing reception on August 31st. Again, find out more and look at the video. It's a very cool presentation that was recorded at the opening of this exhibition. Search Herndon Gallery at Antioch College on Facebook, or go to antiochcollege.edu/Herndon and Take in some art. Mr. Michael Hombus is clearly a good person, and this is some really good, compelling art and a nice sort of cross-section of a couple of varieties as well. So tell us, why do you call this song Eight Face?
to be honest, not.
We don't know.
The vocalist of the band, who's also Antioch, classmate of mine, along with the bassist, and then one of the two drummers, because they're dual drummers that play one kit that's facing each other. It's really...
That's just overkill.
Is it?
Maybe. I guess we'll hear. We'll hear if it is.
and most of the songs are somehow inspired by the most ridiculous news headlines that we've read. But... honestly, don't know, but I really enjoy playing it.
Right on. Michael Hombus, thank you so much. Best of luck to you in all your endeavors, and we'll look forward to seeing you here back in Yellow Springs on August 31st. Thanks so much, Michael.
Oh, thank you, Nikki.
Bye.
Bye now.